Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
All powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. We typically have a Friday guest that used to play for the Titans and Bears and Montana Grizzlies, who played wide receiver, returned some kicks, things like that. Now he has opinions.
YOLO!
And he's got...
YOLO?
He's got check the bank account bets for you.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you guys got me on here early in the week, because it's very important what I have to say about this game.
Well, we just figured we don't need to wait till Friday to get you in here. I do want to hit this real quick because I teased it. Tennessee, Missouri tonight. Tennessee is an 18-point favorite at home. I love the Vols minus the 18.
Do you really?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'll
they're going to score 100.
That's inside info, so I'll take it.
inside what? Inside training. My head.
That's good. No, well, I'll be on it. Actually, I've been minus the Vandy game. Tennessee's been treating me with a lot of respect this year. So
see, the last pick you asked me to make was the Michigan-Indiana game, and I told you go under, and it did. And then I added on to the pick, and I shouldn't have done that. See, that's where you get in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
I should have just answered your question and been done with it, because then I took Indiana, and next thing you know, they're down 17-0.
But
my text to you was, if Indiana can't score, it's a definite under.
And what did I tell you?
Check
don't
the account.
Don't worry, bro. I already took Michigan. It's fine.
Yes,
and I got on the under. Oh, man, what a game, man.
Well, you
so
said
many haters.
You said on Friday that the one out of all the things you know revolving around this game in terms of sports wagering, the under is where you need to be. You
yes.
need to marry the under. You need to do whatever
Let's
you
go.
Need to do to the under. You need to have an affair with the under.
Yes.
But you need to have the under.
Well, last time we were having this, I was, you know, this much of a debate on my sports betting. It was when I just went all in on the Chargers and just got a beat down the next day. So being on the flip side of it feels very good. And you know what, guys? I hate it's easy to say now, but I was all over. I had about, I don't know, 8 or 9 prop bets and, you know, the major bets all over the past.
You went on the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame, the National Anthem.
No,
controversy.
You know why? What was the controversy?
That she ended before the under and then sang it again and hit the over.
That's exactly what I told my buddy. So I told you guys this.
That Gladys Knight was going to screw up the anthem?
I told you guys this last
for
week.
For better.
Talk about inside information.
I told you guys this last week that my buddy in the music business always bets the over-under. And so he did. He bet. He got every penny that I could bet on it. He's in Vegas betting on whatever. But that happened, and I have not heard this till just now. That happened. She ended the note and then, filled her lungs again and then hit it again. And and he was like, yeah, hit the over. And I text him. I go, dude, wait till it clears, because that was – she stopped for sure. Yeah. And
she stopped short.
100%. I go, I'm nervous for you. And then it hit the account, and that was all good. Check the account.
Okay. Give us a quick rundown of the check the account.
Next football season, that's going to be a segment.
Yes.
Well, check the account.
Check the account ledger.
I love it. That's perfect. I'm all in.
I think the full statement was check the bank account, bro.
Well, it's the betting account.
Check the bank account, bro.
Bro. Well,
and then let's go
if I'm not retired from sports betting by then from getting just beat down.
No, you have a kid now.
Yes, I know. Which I have a
milk money away.
I was talking to my brother-in-law who has this kid the same age, and I thought as soon as he's old enough to crawl, I'll just put both sports team on one side and see which way Mav crawls, and then that'll be the way I pick from now on.
But who are you, Kelly and Ryan?
Probably have
a better
stretch.
I just have to have action
point.
On it. Anyways,
have action. So what did the parents do in that situation? You guys have babies at the same time?
Oh yeah, my in-laws are just stoked. Those are their first two grandkids, and they're just.
So one goes one way and one goes the other way?
No, I mean, they divide it up.
Have you had a quiet house yet between parents visiting?
Yeah, my mom left this morning. Or, yesterday morning, yeah. For the first time. It was quiet all day.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
But then I had little man duty.
It's all on you guys.
I had little man duty, and I got nothing done today. So we got to figure that out.
Anyways, how amazed were you at Julian Edelman in that performance?
Oh, dude.
Played that position.
Oh, listen, everybody knows who Tom's go-to guy is. I mean, it's been obvious down the stretch. But what I have so much respect for about Julian Edelman is that he's, as a former slot receiver, you try to watch this film, you try to break it down. What's he doing well? These are all feel routes, man. These are not drawn on paper and you take three steps and you do this or that. He is reading defenders, feeling guys, finding the hole, dissecting people, option routes, can go inside, can go outside. And I mean, just Tom looked for him. Tom, who had a pretty mediocre day for him, was just looking his way. And, you know, I'm glad, minus the fact that I thought Matthew Slater should get a couple votes for Super Bowl MVP. I'm so glad that Julian Edelman won the MVP because he was the difference maker. Without him on that side of the ball, if they would have been running generic offense and they had somebody else in there, it would have been very hard for the Patriots to move the ball on Sunday. Both defenses showed up like none other. I've been odd at that guy for years and years, and he's one of the most well-respected guys in the league. But it was fun to watch. I actually loved watching it down the stretch. I mean, here's the deal. There's been a lot of people saying how boring it was and low scoring and whatever. But if you would have told me you have a tie game, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, both teams are going to have a chance to win the game. You know, field goal kickers are going to come into play and, you know, whatever. You would have taken that, not knowing it would have been 3-3 with 7 minutes to go in the fourth. I mean, they didn't explode the scoreboard, but man, I thought it was great. I mean, I think it went exactly the way, unfortunately, on paper that you thought it would, as far as, you know, Goff was just off. They confused him. He couldn't figure it out. It wasn't that he had happy feet or anything. He couldn't find the open guy in those zones, man. And every time he saw one, he sort of rushed it. Or that throw to Brandon Cooks, man. Our boy J-Mac makes an unbelievable play. But if Jared Goff throws that ball on time, J-Mac's not within 10 yards.
Right.
He held it too long. That ball should be up right after the receiver. I mean, as soon as he sees that safety's flat-footed in the middle of the field, that ball should be up. And you can see there's great clips of it all over the internet of how late the throw was. I mean, yeah. Brandon Cooks is, you know, got his hand in the air waving for the ball, and our boy J-Mac, dude, is
great play.
I am out of area play. Happy for that dude. So happy for that dude. It's amazing.
Well, so Dave McGinnis told us yesterday. He goes, you know, the reason for a lot of this with Jared Goff was that he was simply paralyzed, and there were a lot of reasons why he was paralyzed, and he was hit a lot.
Yep.
I think he was confused a lot. But just watching it, number one, it looked like the stage was too big for him, at least at this point in his career. Number two, because of all the hits and the confusion and all of those things, it leads to slower decisions. So like rolling out where he thinks he can get out of bounds and he gets nailed before going out of bounds, or he rolls out and he ends up taking a sack where he could have thrown the ball out of bounds both times. These are decisions that he probably would have made during the regular season. Yeah. I don't know. But that throw was so late, and that's a throw all year he would have hit.
Well, and you can equate that. Right? When you were talking, all I could think about was a basketball player who's kind of in a slump, and all he needs to do is what? See the ball go through the net. See, you know, he needs that couple. And Jared Goff on Sunday, actually, let's rewind it to the NFC Championship game. They didn't get rolling until he got a couple easy throws, wide open receivers, guys coming out and getting 20 yards after the catch, Robert Woods, but easy throws. And he didn't have any of those at all on Sunday. He did not get going whatsoever. Every throw was hard, and he just never got going. And in turn, the Rams never got going. And what about Todd Gurley? Where was Todd Gurley? And obviously the easy answer is he had to have been hurt. But I could not believe that he wasn't more of a factor. And all those things add up to the fact that you had a Patriots team who, you know, like I said last week, I wrote him off all season. I was one of those people, and they didn't have as much talent this year as years before. And how about our boy Gronk, who's been, you know, on crutches coming down the stretch, and goes out there and makes one of the biggest plays of the game. And I mean,
that's pretty much the play of the game.
It really slammed the door. I mean, it's 3-3. And how about this? I don't know if you guys saw Tim Hasselbeck's breakdown. They ran the same play three times in a row on that drive down the stretch. They hit Edelman over the middle on an option route. The Rams double teamed Edelman, and then so they threw it on the outside, a hitch to Burkhead, and then they ran the same exact play, but they hit Gronk in the seam on an inside fade, but they ran the same play, except for each time the formation was different and each time the motion was different, but the routes were the exact same. I mean, how about that?
The last time they had two running backs, two tight ends, and one wide receiver, and then they split them out wide. Once they got the defense defensive personnel in that they wanted, then they line everybody outside, and then boom, mismatch.
And you can say what you want about Tom and whatever, but in that stretch, that's not – a young guy may not find the open guy. A young guy may go, man, Edelman was open last time. He'll be open again or whatever. Or why is Rex Burkhead wide open against who's a you know, decently size and speed running back, but nothing that'll off the charts. But he's playing against Marcus Peters on the outside. That's not a mismatch. Marcus Peters should have the advantage.
Right.
But because of the way they're playing, he's going to be wide open, so I'm going to take him. How do you, I mean, that's experience. That's being the greatest of all time. And so it was fun to watch all that.
ZolpopMariani.com is the website. You need to go there now to get in touch with this dude over here.
You see this weather, man? This is a perfect time to get out there and check out some new real estate. This is unreal. I'll be on a bird scooter all afternoon checking out the neighborhoods.
Dude, you showed up in a full-fledged winter coat.
Yeah, what was that about?
Oh, my. Listen to Jordan talking smack.
Well, you're from Montana. I mean, this should feel like 127 degrees.
I had a coat next to the door, and I grabbed it.
Mark Mariani in studio.
I mean, there's weather available on social media devices.
You wouldn't even need to put your newborn in a coat that heavy today.
No, I'm going to take him out. Wait till he's allowed to be out and has his immune system built up. He's going to be literally in a front pack on a scooter at the bar. I mean, he's going to be out and about. He's going to be here in the studio.
You're not taking a baby to a bar. Or on a scooter.
Well, maybe midday when it's low.
Nothing that controversial has happened since Mike dangled blanket. You're not going to do that.
Tangled blanket.
Yeah, by the way, 90% chance of rain tomorrow, 100% chance of rain Thursday, and then the high for Thursday is 73, the low is 28, the high for Friday is 40.
So let's get out today and see some houses. Come on
there
now.
There you go, soldbymariani.com. So during the break, this is how sick you are at this stuff.
Oh, gosh.
What do you think about Kansas State tonight? I'm like, who are they playing?
Because you could get a great money line on Kansas right now. The money just shifted hard. Hey, I want to go back.
Kansas was a 1-point favorite. Now they are 3-point underdogs to Kansas State.
No, I think I'll be all over it.
In Manhattan.
Or maybe I already
am. The Little Apple.
I told you, Tennessee minus the 18. All right, so Super Bowl.
Another thing that I thought was just incredible to me is New England's defense without a bunch of superstars. I mean, this is a defense that was, you know, most of the year in the middle of the pack. They got hot down the stretch. The Tennessee Titans tore them up. I mean, not anybody that, you know, an Aaron Donald type guy or even a Jarrell Casey type guy who can take over a game. You know, our boy, Jay Mack, but, you know, Devin McCourty too. They have Stephon Gilmore, who's a superstar. But, I mean, they just are disciplined. They're fundamentally sound. They don't make mistakes. They make it hard on you. And, you know, listening to Dean Pease this afternoon, it's like, that's what we need. We need tough, disciplined guys who, you know, play together and are all playing for the same cause. And look what you do. You darn near throw a shutout in the Super Bowl to the number one offense, you know, in whatever. And it was amazing to see. I mean, there's not a bunch of guys running around that can sit and name off the starting lineup for the New England Patriot defense because they're just not household names. There's not one in there. But it was fun to watch.
They got to get your boy Dean some pass rushers, though. He can't keep getting, you know, such a big percentage of sacks from safeties and defensive backs and middle linebackers.
It is the number one.
That's how good he is. Yeah.
It is the number one need in the offseason, and it has to be for J-Rob and this front office. Has to be, whether you address it during free agency or during the draft, you have to draft a bona fide edge rusher that demands a double team that can get around the edge.
And sign one in free agency and then draft another one. I've had people 100%. Argue with me about this on Twitter, like, no, they have more pressing needs. No, they don't.
No, there isn't one. That's it. That's the one glaring weakness that you look across this D-line and
I mean, the whole NFL is, can you protect the quarterback? Can you get after the quarterback? Start there. That's where you start. Well, and then everything else works out.
Guess who will benefit the most from that? Jarrell Casey, guys like that, the linebackers. if you have to make it a focal point of the weekly plan on offense to stop an edge rusher, to shift another guy over there, keep a running back on his side, put a tight end over there to chip him, whatever the case may be, you take attention off each and every guy. They can go do their job. But you didn't have that this year, so you had to be exotic. You had to bring safeties and corners and outside rushers. And we had a couple guys make a play around the edge, but nothing consistent that demanded attention every single week. And you know, in my opinion, that did slow down the interior of the defense. You know, Daquan and Jarrell Casey, they got more attention because of it.
Right.
And there's no one I'm singling out here, but I'm thinking if there's one glaring need, if there's one thing, a piece that you could plug into the Tennessee Titans and take us to the next level, it's got to be edge rusher.
Can Harold Landry make that jump in year one to year two to become like a 12 sack guy?
I saw flashes of it, man. Yeah. He made a couple plays early where you went, man, this is the guy, man. This is the guy. But is he big? Is he that big demand? You know, just a big presence that you know, one on one, you're gonna bet on him 8 times out of 10. I don't know, but he's definitely a guy like that. Think about that. Think about if you have Harold Landry on one side just taking care of his business, but everyone's like, hey, put him on the right tackle and let's make sure this guy on the other side. He would have single teams all day, one-on-one, and be able to just do his thing.
So to write guys there in the first round, ideally you would like a bigger in stature like Harold Landry, like a guy that is maybe more physical, and then he can do his thing on the other side, and then you've got this guy that could maybe take on people.
You just need
a
guy.
And then that opens up for Daquan and Jarrell inside.
You just need a guy that demands attention. You can't leave him alone. You have to prepare for him. He has to be productive. He has to, you know, cause disruption. And I don't even need 15 sacks. I need a guy that is respected, that can come in and just make a difference.
Somebody that people actually game plan for.
If you line me up one-on-one, you have to win 7 out of 10 times. Right. And if you do, you're going to be one of the best in the league. That's it. Because then you're going to have double teams. You're going to have to prepare, and that's what we need. It'll take attention off everybody else. Number one need in the offseason.
Do you like your guy, your buddy Golden Tate, to come home?
I'm going to start the campaign. I didn't want to start it while the Eagles were still in the playoffs, but he would
saw
be
how that ended.
He would be the type of guy who elevated the play of everyone around him. We have a young receiver room.
Right.
But we have
They need an old head in that room for sure.
He's an old head. Yeah. He's a competitor. He's a leader. And he produces. He's amazing between the numbers. You
well,
know,
Lord inside. Knows that's where they throw it over here.
Yeah.
throwing it between the numbers, dude.
Well, listen.
Ain't a lot of action outside those numbers. It's a barren wasteland out
but
there.
Again, what I'm saying, if you have a guy who
between
excels,
those numbers, though, woo!
If you have a slot receiver who excels at his job, which Golden would be, not only all the intangibles that I just mentioned, but just produces and takes care of his business in between the numbers, think about now what we just talked about D line. Think about now you have a Corey Davis type that can do his job, and Taywan Taylor can just not be double team. He can go run free, run blow the top off, whatever. But it takes pressure off everyone else. We have a guy that could be that number one guy. It could be that, you know, Amari Cooper type difference maker. Could be. But you need a guy who can push him. You need a guy who can lead. You need a guy who can step the level of play up, hold guys accountable. Golden is that guy, and he's your slot receiver.
Even if you get Golden Tate, would you spend a high pick on another wide receiver?
Not before I address other things.
Would you go pass rusher one and high pick wide receiver two? Because they have a one and a two.
Yeah, I mean, it's still up there for me. But if you splash like that and get a Golden Tate type, or Golden Tate, there's no type. He is Golden Tate. There's no like you look at the other free agents and they just don't have all those
things.
You could
be listening right now. Call in.
You don't have man. Maybe he is driving around town.
We'll try to get him out here. But if you get all the other free agents out there, I went through the list the other day. Receivers, they have one or two of those things. They have the intangibles or are getting older and don't have the production or whatever. Golden has it all, and he plays that position. We don't need a number one guy. We need a slot receiver who can catch the ball 60, 70 times and move the chains, but at the same time demands competitiveness and pushes guys and can help those young guys along. You know, and then I think you got to stack up on the offensive line again. I think we need maybe another interior guy or something.
Yep.
But if you address the receiver position, in free agency, it gives you a little bit more freedom with that next high pick that you don't have to go receiver. You can go address a need, maybe in the secondary, whatever the case, maybe another safety, I don't know. But I think one of those two, edge rusher or a receiver, has to be addressed in free agency. Go sign a vet, a proven guy. You're not taking a chance on a rookie that won't be able to keep up with the speed of play. You're not taking a chance on a guy that you don't know. You know, the potential's there.
Right.
The potential's there.
Like you just said with Harold Landry.
Yeah, the potential is through the roof with this guy. And then you go get an experienced guy who's proven and can do it. And you want to talk about another guy who's got lights out, like blow the roof off potential, is Rashawn Evans. Rashawn Evans, Harold Landry, that young linebacking core, there's something to build on down the stretch.
Jaylon Brown, too.
Those guys, you build on that. You put an edge rusher in, and now we're in the situation where we have had success the last couple years. We are so close in so many ways. Now it's not putting the whole puzzle together. Now it's just finding that one or two more pieces that we need to plug in to put us over the top.
Would you go quarterback at some point?
I would.
I would, too.
Have to.
How early?
Well,
I would go reasonably early, honestly.
It's tough to say that there's any more Tom Brady sitting out there in the sixth round. So, listen, whether you want to sign Marcus long term or not, I think the decision to go quarterback early, I know people are going to read into it, but I don't think it necessarily reflects directly upon how they feel about Marcus. You have to address that position. They've been addressing it by getting older guys in here for a number of years. Go get a guy you can develop that you think could be, potentially lead your team one day, but that you maybe have a little project in front of you. But go get him early. Go get a skilled guy that you like, instead of waiting until the end or trying to plug that backup position with a vet that, isn't taking care of business.
So you like Kansas tonight?
Kansas money line.
+3? Oh, money line. Okay.
UT -18.
Let's go.
All right, there's Mark Mariani. Soulaboutmariani.com. You'll get more of him on Friday. Like it or not.
Like it or not.